in July, we do have Kelly Rudy scheduled.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm hoping that falls through and or goes through. So
if not falls through, we don't want that to fall through.
It doesn't fall through. That would be nice. So we can get some Medicine Hat boys on the podcast.
Yeah. And
I don't know if they're going to be in person, but
Rudy's a big name. And yeah, he does provide, he does a lot for the mental health background. And it's funny, when we first started this thing, we linked up with two gentlemen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I was watching Hockey Night in Canada.
His book was in the background.
I'm like,
Mr. Alan Keller.
That's right. I was like, no way. I was like, that.
Shout out to Alan Keller.
Yeah. Alan Keller, you kind of got us, you and Mike gave us a kind of a platform and helped us out. We really do appreciate that. I know we've kind of fallen out of touch, but maybe we should.
Yeah.
Re-engage at some point.
And I'm sure Alan would come on the podcast.
Yeah.
I haven't talked to Mike since, but I'm sure Alan would.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And, but yeah, it's just that correlation between the two. I was like, no effing. That's crazy. But yeah, Rudy, hopefully he comes on. That's going to be fantastic. He is a big mental health supporter. Mm-hmm. I know people do have mixed feelings about him, but at the end of the day, he does have, he does care.
I play for the Tigers too. It's nice to have the older population, that listens to the podcast. They get to listen to him. And a huge shout out to all of you who keep tuning in.
Yeah.
I was just telling Shane before the podcast today that we just released an episode two nights ago and it's already, per day, it's our by far our highest downloaded podcast. And it's already in our top five of most podcasts played. The fact that we're getting, 500-600 downloads a day.
Yeah, that's wild.
Wild to me.
Yeah. I honestly, I don't know anything until you tell me.
Yeah.
And when you tell me, I'm just like, what?
Well, it's weird because so if people go to our YouTube channel is, it's dog crap.
Yeah, you wanted to say
it's so bad, man. Yeah. Like,
well, it's tough, man. It's tough.
I'm looking at the views and it's like 60 views, 30 views, 15 views. And you're like, you're so disheartened, but our audio crushes it. Yeah. So shout out to everybody downloading it through Spotify and Apple Podcasts.
Much appreciated.
Yeah. We just landed on the top 150 men's podcasts on Apple as well.
Beautiful.
Which is, it's a weird because, actually I found this out via,
Todd Redbaum.
He posted his podcast. His podcast is in the top 100 mental health podcasts on Apple. Yeah. So huge shout out to Todd.
Yeah, congrats, Todd. That's awesome.
Bunny Hugs and Mental Health.
Yep.
And so I was like, I gotta see where the Interman show is. We weren't even on a mental health category.
Yeah.
It just shows up as men's and personal development.
Yeah.
So it's a little different, but it is what it is.
We'll take it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. And Todd with his weird Saskatchewan. For those people don't know, not from Saskatchewan, a bunny hug is a hoodie. What we call in Alberta, hoodies. Yeah.
A sweater with a hood.
That is correct.
Yeah. So it's been, I'm really impressed with the podcast. I'm really impressed with our social media. I was just telling we have a support chat and we're kind of going through an online phase for our volunteers and recruiting and that sort of thing. So anybody who wants to help out, just shoot us an email at intermanyxh@gmail.com or just go to www.theintermanproject.com and you can just sign up as a volunteer and you'll hear from one of us. If you have, if you want to volunteer and want to come to a peer group, want to donate, anything like that. So
yeah, when you laid out the numbers of everything this morning, I was like, oh man.
Yeah. Never in I've been in business since I was 18.
Yeah.
I've been an entrepreneur my whole life.
Yeah.
I've never seen numbers like that. Like 3 million
unique accounts
just on Facebook.
Yeah.
You know, that's we're not very big on Instagram, but we know that we have a following on Facebook and we're truly appreciative.
Yeah, just in our private forum alone, we have almost 1900 men. Like that's wild. And sustainable because we skyrocket off the start, hit 1700, but after that we kind of plateaued for a bit. People started leaving, coming and going, and now it's just kind of, we're seeing a steady rise now again.
Yeah,
which is, I don't know if that's a good thing, but it's a good thing that we're able to provide the support for these people if they need it.
Totally. And correct me if I'm wrong, but are you seeing, because you're one of the administrators on that page, are you seeing guys who have left and they come back?
Oh, all the time. Possibly. And that's just a testament to, people we talk to in peer and just people on, and just in general in our social media. Mm-hmm. They're going through a tough time, they get through it, or they get through a mental illness, And then, you know, things go wrong again. And then they're like, oh, I need to come back. So, my advice for those people that keep coming and going, just stay, even if you don't like post anything or have anything to say,
you can mute the group or
whatever. Mute the group, but just, if you're feeling like things are getting tough, you can just go in and read some of the posts that men make. And, you know, if you feel like you want to talk, talk and reach out to any of us, and we're always there to talk. We always do that. So, just to, even if it's in a maintenance period, we're not saying anything's wrong with you. It's just, you know, it's to help you keep maintaining, you know, that even that ebb and flow instead of going those highs and lows.
Yeah, totally. Totally agree. How's ITTM going? You are officially done phase A, correct?
Phase A is complete. Yeah. I am not part of phase B and C. That is all Renee. That is for clinicians, where she does one-on-one. Phase B, she does one-on-one with, the parents of children. And in phase C, if they decide to go to phase C, which would include the child in the therapy as well.
Right.
When this first thing started, we never used to, I guess, but, Valerie Copping, when the person who created ITTM, she used to have kids actually come to phase A.
Oh, okay.
But she soon realized after the first 3 or 4 years that that wasn't the right move. It was a little damaging, not so much damaging. It just wasn't getting honest answers from the parents or the kids.
Right.
Because, you know, you get, it's like our men's group. If we had, if unfortunately we're not at a place where we can have, you know, mixed genders in our peer groups, because just the comfortability is not there yet.
Totally.
We're still in that stigma.
You see it with men who bring in friends or brothers.
Totally. Yeah. You know, some sort of support network. Yeah.
You know, they don't, it's not telling the truth. It's just, they feel like they can't tell everything.
That's right.
You know, and the point, and like we were just talking before the podcast, the point of the men's groups is to have uncomfortable conversations if they arise.
That's right.
And to have a place where, you know, if I'm having a problem with my wife or my kids or my job, that I can trust the guys in there to listen to me judgment free and then leave it in that room.
Get it off the chest. And, you know, even if you're not fully past it, you feel better.
Exactly.
100%. And sometimes you get completely past it. It just is a matter of getting it off your chest.
Yeah. I can see how that can be, not damaging, but more so
just not getting the honest answer. You're not going to get the full effect of the program.
Not digging right underneath where you need to dig.
That's right. So, we don't have a solidified date yet, but our next one will be running in April, awesome. Probably mid to late. Really looking forward to that. Will be in person and that'll be at our center.
And you guys will be announcing that on the socials.
Yes. Okay. It's just a matter of her and I coming together and be like, yeah, that's the date.
Cool.
So maybe I'll plan to do that this week and just get some numbers in place, and we'll get registration early and we'll get going with that. So yeah, looking forward to it. I absolutely love it. And it's the more I do it, the more I feel comfortable, the more I learn from my personal self. And the more I guess I can deliver. I mean, Renee's great. She's
fantastic.
She's done this for 11 years. She knows what she's doing. I'm pretty new at it still. And, but I love it. I believe in it more than anything I've believed in my entire life. I've learned a lot about myself. I learned a lot about my parents. I learned a lot about my sisters. I learned about how a lot of things, why they are the way that they are.
Right.
So I had a lot of unanswered questions I didn't know that I had unanswered.
Yeah. It's also one of those things, what we were talking about last week there with Rod, is sometimes it's like, what happened to me?
Yeah. And I've grown an extra empathetic bone. Now it's used to in the past, and, you know, as a kid, not knowing, uneducated on this, on the mental health realm, it'd be like, what's wrong with you?
Totally.
What's wrong with you? What happened to you? What happened to you to make you feel this way?
Totally.
Right. And that was not a thought. It was when I started the Inner Man, don't get me wrong, but now it's kind of, now that I have a little bit of that background, a little more information.
Well, you've done this thing over the last year and a half where you've kind of disconnected because you were in corrections.
Yeah.
So you had to really put on a quote unquote brave face.
Totally.
You had to disconnect from what you were experiencing and seeing.
Yeah.
And now you're coming at this with a different perspective through the ITTM program.
Totally. Yeah. I almost wish I wouldn't have left probation when I did. I wish I would have taken, I guess I did. It was in the mid of my change, but, unfortunately it wasn't where I wanted it to be anyway. So yeah. The move for me was right.
Right.
I still feel good about it. I still think I did the right thing. So, yeah.
Well, but you're doing something completely different right now.
Very different, but I can still hang on to helping people through right now. I'm not really like my job, my occupation isn't really necessarily helping.
Yeah. Anyone, yeah. Yeah. That's right? What I mean though. It's like, you are like, you went from, you know, quote unquote government mandates and policies to doing this thing where you're actually getting to know somebody and getting to know their issues and helping them solve their problems.
Digging a little deeper, right?
Yeah.
And without it, as much as I can and provide what I can.
Totally.
But that information's there and I'm really enjoying it. Looking forward to April. And I think we said we're going to try to do it quarterly. So three times a year. So that's great. If we can do more, we'll do more.
Yeah.
But we're kind of just in the limbo phase of what works and what doesn't, if we're overlapping with our own programming, all that kind of stuff. So
totally.
Yeah. We're going to get Renee on though. I don't want to divulge too much. Yeah. Yeah. We've been her fault. One's fault. It's just, our timelines haven't matched up, but we're going to do that soon.
Yeah.
And we'll really dig deep because I'd rather her give off the proper information and the, cause she can just explain it.
Yeah. Well, we don't do justice, right?
No, we don't. Yeah. And I don't want to ruin that for the listeners. I'd rather have them get the full effect through Renee, who has done it for 11 years and ran over 100, courses on this and it has it down packed, and she has the same passion. She probably is more passionate than I am about it.
Right.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to having that conversation with her when that time comes.
Awesome. Well, I think we should get into the meat and potato of this podcast and segue that. First of all, I do want to say that we do have plans with the Canadian Mental Health Association in some aspect. We're trying to work at the Mental Health Week coming up in May. Yeah. If that doesn't work out, we'll be doing something in the summertime. Yeah. But we're really excited to work with Sandra and the team there, Canadian Mental Health Association. So.
Yeah. And as a disclaimer, we're not opposed to working with, we're not opposed to working with anyone in the city. We want that to be very abundantly clear, but we just have to air out some, I don't want to say dirty laundry, but we just have to
make things clear.
We've had our names thrown around in weird situations where we're not involved in and this isn't a moment of us trying to pick at people. We're not going to name names, but we're going to come to our defense a little bit and just clear the air, really, is all it's really going to be. So,
yeah, it's so one of the things, being a nonprofit in a Medicine Hat or any city for that matter, I'm assuming this is how it works, but you get to work with other organizations. You get to come up with coalition plans, do different type of meetups. You do different type of programming together. Basically since day one, you and I have been involved in countless at this point, different types of presentations. Yep. Coalition meetings. We've sat down with the town of Stony Plain. We've sat down with the town of Hannah. We've tried to bring something to the table that was different. One thing that we realized is we never sought out anybody. People sought out us. And the reason why we didn't seek out anybody is because, we weren't professionals working in the mental health realm.
Yeah.
But we realized that a lot of the stigma comes with men is going to get professional services. So we kind of wanted to be our own entity. And then it ended up working out that a lot of people ended up, calling us up and wanting us to be a part of these organizations and meetings.
And not to mention that we were trying to get a non-for-profit from scratch where we both don't have a lot of knowledge on doing so. Mm-hmm. So a lot of it has been trial and error, leadership stuff, everything where we were just trying to build.
Yeah.
So it was like, now we're in a position where we can start seeking other people to start working together. But at that time it was, we were doing presentations for people, just getting our name out there.
Yeah. Basically
more or less. Right. And a lot of the problems that we ran into from the beginning and now that we're struggling with and I'm going to say this with conviction, the power struggle when it comes to, finding financing to run a non-for-profit. Because it's tough out there. Mm-hmm. I give that to every organization out there that's working hard to keep their non-for-profit going, or any or for-profit or whatever it might be, whatever helps people. Mm-hmm. I'm with you.
Yeah. When it comes to the grant specifically.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So we have found a lot of issues in this era here, where we're scoffed at a lot, just due to the fact that we are not quote unquote professionals, but like we said on the podcast before, and I maintain this, and I know Dylan does too. We are the professionals in our area.
Yeah. And what we do.
There's no one doing what we do.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to back it up a little bit though, because when we first started sitting down with other organizations, we were approached by several other people about what our plans were, what we had to do. And we, first of all, we were really naive.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
And, we decided to tell the world what our plans were. And I feel that was still the best move. And I feel that was still the best move because of where we are today.
Yeah. We learned a lot about that. Some certain experiences that, you know, that will carry us probably throughout our entire career of doing this.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I won't say names or organizations. Like we said, we agreed to that, but people actually stole our ideas, and we have recorded Zoom calls. We have recorded phone calls.
We have text messages.
We have text messages of telling certain individuals what we're doing and them actually saying, hey, we're going to be on board with this. We're going to come to these board meetings. We're going to come to your drop-in groups, and then never show up and then start their organization, start their own podcast. We've had people, take our idea and then go get funding in the community of Medicine Hat. So,
and able to receive that funding because they do have the credentials to back it up.
Totally.
And we're just a bunch of grassroots guys trying to get this off the ground. And I can understand through the government's eyes or whoever's eyes why it would go to someone else. But that we found out real quick that we have to keep our cards close to our chest for a lot of these situations, because we are not clinicians. Mm-hmm. We aren't quote unquote professionals where we have the degree to back us up.
Right.
But at the end,
even
of
though
the,
we have consultants, like
we have consultants, we have people that back us. We have the right people in our place. And when we're running our programming and everything that we do, we're staying within the limits of our confinements for sure. But we're running into, we ran into this issue and we continue to run into this issue because we don't have those credentials. So when we're all technically at the end of the day, looking for the same funding, and it all comes from the same place.
Yeah. So this is a good segue, because the problem with this is red tape and the quote unquote internal politics of what you're seeing in these organizations, especially when it comes to the funding.
That's right.
There's a lot of red tape.
Yep.
We're talking 10, 15 pages per document. I've actually had phone calls recently where I've sat down and had phone calls with different organizations, and I've had them explain to me their grant writing process. And it's flabbergasting to me because some of these fundings, they have no background checks. They're just giving money to whoever comes to it first.
Yeah.
And again, so there's a lot of internal politics of who knows who and who knows what. And it's really disheartening. And Shane, you know why it's disheartening, is because we've helped thousands of men at this point.
Yeah. And there's the most disheartening thing about it is individuals who did land these very high-end grants. Mm-hmm. It went wasted.
Yeah.
It went untouched. Yeah. It was sitting in a bank and had to give.
Yeah.
We've given back.
Yeah. We've had conversations with numerous organizations saying what you just said.
So, like I said, we're not going to name names or anything like that, but at the end of the day,
we've seen organizations change their names over the issues that they've had here in Medicine Hat just in the last year.
Well, when it comes to the inner man, and I know I can speak very freely about this, all that information will be on our website eventually. It's all there.
Yeah, it's in April.
Every single penny that we ever earned through in-kind contributions, through grants, through our own fundraising, through charitable donations, whatever it might be, has been put back into the program. We haven't programming.
Yep.
whether it's the ITTM, the training for myself, which the Interman paid for. Mm-hmm. We're very grateful for that. And then it comes to our personal development program. Yep. When we ran our retreat, all that money was put into that. So all the seven or eight. Was it eight programs?
Eight programs.
Eight programs we put together. So eight programs for the PD retreat. Program. That's right. The retreat. The our buildings.
Yeah. Compassion project.
The compassion project, putting our buildings together.
Yeah. Different advertising, marketing,
signage. You know,
yeah.
Small like stuff that people don't think of.
Meetings. It all went. And that's one thing I can, I pride myself on
100%.
Being a part of the Interman is we were transparent from the beginning. And we said every single dollar is going to go back into the programming, into the community. And that's what we did. And I think that also, we also stir the pot a little bit that way too, is because, you know, we've had several people ask us what we're paying our employees and we tell them nothing.
Yeah.
Because we don't pay our employees. We have employees.
We have volunteers.
We have volunteers.
We're all volunteers.
People who are committed. And so, you know, we're stuck in this crossroads in Medicine Hat, right? Because we have this quote unquote mental health crisis going on, and there's bureaucratic red tape for getting funding. The funding is going to organizations without any questions being asked. And then the other point of it is, if you we're speaking up because we feel we need to, but the Interman isn't the only organization
that's
dealing with these issues. 100%. When you start going down the list and realizing that some of these organizations are month to month in their rent, it is disheartening, because these are some of the organizations that are helping our youth when they're homeless.
That's right.
Helping the youth when they're, you know, in an abusive household, helping women who are trying to get out of abusive relationships. These are organizations that our city needs.
And struggling to keep the doors open.
Right, right. So it's not just us. We're just sounding the alarm.
That's right.
And letting everybody know.
And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Dylan, but this is one of the main reasons. This is what irks me the most. We have individuals tacking their names to us when we haven't worked with them for any second, for any piece of it. And we've had multiple organizations when we do our presentations.
Last Tuesday.
It's every single time. And I don't understand how that word has gotten out. And like I said, we are the Interman. Mm-hmm. We don't have any entities that are attached to us in any way, right, shape or form.
We have no conflicting interests, meaning we don't have anybody who's sitting on our board that's sitting on another.
No,
there are organizations like that in town.
We're willing to work with other agencies in town.
Well, I just said Canadian Mental Health, right?
But we unfortunately we have to have this conversation and let people know, but we have to be choosy on who we work with now.
Yeah. Yeah. We have to be choosy, but also we have to be real. It's just like, we're going to be transparent about who we work with.
Always.
Yeah. You know, we worked with the Red Cliff Youth Center. We've worked with the Medicine Hat Skateboard Association. We've worked with the Mustard Seed. We've donated to the Post. You know, we worked with the Root Cellar over Christmas to get food hampers put out. We're going to work with individuals and organizations where we see a benefit of working with them for the community, not a benefit for us.
Yeah. And I would just want to provide another example, which is another disheartening thing. And maybe this isn't proper etiquette, but that's fine, because I'm getting past the point where it needs to be out there. Mm-hmm. Where I've had professionals and agencies reach out to our email and ask us how to get the ITTM training. Mm-hmm. And I give them the information, don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. It's not like I'm hiding this and this is just ours.
Right.
But at the end of the day, they're like, I have so many clients that would love this. How do I get the training? Mm-hmm. And then when I tell them the credentials that you need, and it's very heavy, it's stipulation. I got grandfathered in through Renee.
Yeah.
And my
because of Renee
and working with youth and as a probation officer, but I'm just a secondary. I'm not a clinician.
Right.
Like, you need to have someone that's, you know, has that credential that because she handpicks who she gets to use.
Totally.
She created the program. Mm-hmm. But we've had people ask, like, how do we get it? And I give them to them. Oh, and then as soon as I tell them, they don't refer these people who could really use it to us.
Yeah.
They keep that information because they're like, oh, well, that's out of reach for us. We're not going to do it then. We'll find something else.
Yeah. That's really, that irks me too, because we've sat down with city officials. We've sat down with the mayor. We did an hour podcast with her and had a 2-hour conversation after the fact. We've talked to candidates that are running for mayor. running for city council. We've talked to Michaela Glasgow, Michaela Frey now. And we've talked to organizations, and today alone, I had two referrals from an organization here in town.
Yeah.
And what are they using those referrals for? Well, that's because we're working together.
Yeah.
That's how that works. Yeah. So it's not like I can do their job because they can't do mine. That's how that works. So the fact that I'm hearing and you've told me, and now, you know, kind of medicine hats, knowing that, you know, we have organizations who are reaching out to us because we have the credentials and the training and saying no to their clients.
Yep.
So if people, because the biggest complaint and the reason why we're having this conversation is two reasons. There's two particular organizations in town that every time you and I have a conversation with somebody on a professional level or do a presentation, we get asked how we're working together.
Yep.
And we're not.
Never have.
We've tried to sit down with these people. We've reached out to these people. And the messages we've gotten reply, I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is that's number one. Number two is we have a city that's going through a mental health crisis right now and nobody's referring each other.
Well, the system's overwhelmed. We know that.
Yeah.
And that is one of the main reasons why we wanted to alleviate pressures between wait times for professionals. We thought we were helping. That was where we were naive, where at the end of the day, and I hate to say this, but a lot of people are wanting it for the wrong reasons.
Totally.
People are in it for the wrong reasons.
Yep.
Or they forgot their reasons or whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. All I know out there, it's bleak and the inner man was started and continues to be run just to help people. That's right. All we care about. That's our main number one goal. That's why we did the ITTM training. That's why we do our drop-ins. That's why we're all volunteers. And, you know, Anthony Hart, he coined this for us and we'll hang our hat on this. And this is the inner man stands by this is it's the right thing to do.
Yeah.
That's what we can hang our hat on. It's totally the right thing to do. Because it is.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, to answer, the questions that were coming in, regarding funding and programming, we don't know. We have no idea. The Inner Man project, the Inner Man project last year was denied almost $100,000 from donors because we weren't a charity. Yeah. And the charity organization who was funneling the money for other charities said no to us.
Yep. Yeah.
We have been denied.
Hold on, Dylan. I want to talk about that a little.
Yeah.
Because they mentioned that we didn't have any significant programming that was inclusive.
Yep.
And I would have loved to be a part of that conversation because when we were talking about that, I could just feel my blood boiling. But at the end of the day, we have men inclusive. Mm-hmm. We have male inclusive. LGBTQ are all welcome. Mm-hmm. If you identify as a male, you come to the Inner Man Project.
Sundays.
Yep. And if you identify as a female, you go to Thursdays. It's the Compassion Project. It doesn't matter. We will take you.
Yeah. And the ITTM program is for everyone.
For everybody.
Yeah. I'm really upset at that that talking point that's been thrown around.
Seemed like such a scapegoat. I was like, I don't know.
Polarizing. That's what we've been called.
I just don't know how you can get away with saying that when the proof is in the pudding. We have testimonies of people in ITTM. We had males, we had females.
Well,
we had
parents, one of the biggest critiques that we get is we don't, what was the one thing that was said to me? Basically, not everyone can be self-sufficient. And my thought process is in like, you're absolutely right. When we're talking about you and I can be self-sufficient.
Yeah.
There's a big difference between mental illness and mental health. Mental health is like, I'm having a bad day, bad week, bad month, bad year.
Yeah.
A mental illness is like, this gentleman has bipolar disorder. This lady has schizophrenia. And this is something they're going to live with through the rest of their life.
Yeah.
Right. There's a big difference between circumstantial mental health issues and someone with severe chronic depression.
Yeah.
And that's just the way it is. So we've been called polarizing. We've been called toxic. And being exclusive, which is flabbergasting.
Too exclusive.
Yeah. Which is hilarious to me because it's not that at all. And the problem with what we're talking to everyone about on this podcast is this is information that we've been dealing with for 16 months.
Yeah.
And it's come to a head because of the last probably 3-4 weeks, I would say 3-4 months even.
It's been just like time after time after time after time, and no relief on the other way, like other than CMHA, that is that we are planning to work with them. But before that, we didn't trust too many people in the city just due to how we've been treated.
Yeah. And another thing that I'm going to point out is, one thing that we agreed to is we weren't going to put too much emphasis on funding from the city of Medicine Hat, not to discount the city of Medicine Hat, but you know, we're, like we said, we're talking about a mental health crisis, a housing crisis. We're talking about food security crisis in Medicine Hat. Like, this is real things that are going on every day. And there's a few programs and grants that people can apply for in Medicine Hat, and mental health services did not receive these grants. These are for inclusiveness to the community. These are for bringing families together. Yeah. These are grants that are designed to help the community. And right now they're going, you know, in my opinion, they're not the grants they're supposed to be. I don't discount the people who applied for them because they're just applying for the grants. They just put their name in a hat and let's go. Right. But it's really sad to see that, you know, for the last 2 years, we've seen through the pandemic, we've seen countless people talk about their mental health, and then our city refuses to fund it.
Yeah. And on top of all that, we have hundreds of thousands of dollars that's there to help these people. Yep. This conversation isn't happening right now. Yeah. If the money was getting put to good use.
Totally.
It doesn't have to go to us. That's not what we're saying.
Yeah. It doesn't have to go to the Interman.
We're just saying, if you're going to fight for the funding, if we are going to all be, you know, in the sandbox together, that, you know, pushing each other around, getting this money, because that's the way it feels. Utilize it in the proper way that it is intended for.
Totally, totally. Because at the end of the day, you've seen it in your previous career. You see it now with the ITTM. I see it with the men's drop-in groups. Mel sees it at her career and her job. But like, people are struggling, and it is every single day. We are getting emails and phone calls. I just had a gentleman contact me today, and I felt bad for him, but he messaged me at like 2 a.m. and I'm sleeping, and by 6 a.m. he's not responding to me. Right. I don't know who this person is. They're texting me off the website. They're emailing us off the website, and you're sitting there going, how am I going to get this person who's anonymous, getting them proper help? Yeah. I know they're in Medicine Hat. Well, how am I going to get them help? And then you realize at 2 a.m., the only help there is the 1-800 line.
That's right.
And the emergency.
That's right. Yeah. 5 North trip.
Yeah. Right. So now we're stuck in this predicament where and I'm not discounting other mental health services when we say this.
No.
Like you said, if the funding went to actual programs,
good use,
that actually worked, and not just a fly-by-night company who's going to take their money or creating an app or anything like that. What I'm talking about is, are you boots on the ground actually helping people? And the answer is no.
Because as much as we are chastised in all of these meetings, these coalitions, whatever they might be, people did have good ideas.
Totally.
They had good ideas, but that's all they were. They didn't have the people in place to put the good ideas to use. They had the money for it. I just, that is where the frustration lies. It's just, you know, the money's there. You have it, do what you intended. And we never talk about this ever.
Yeah, no. And
I'm frustrated that we have to have this conversation right
now. I could not agree more, because what it is bureaucratic red tape and a lot of people just helping each other out. And when it comes to the city funding or the government funding, one thing I will say is shout out to the government of Alberta, because they actually put a lot of money into mental health services and nonprofits the last 2 years. But when it comes to the city funding, I mean, I feel like I'm just yelling into the ether.
Yeah.
Like we sat down with these people who, you know, somebody like Lindsay Clark, who has 1,000+ downloads on our podcast. We sit down with her. We have a 2-hour conversation with these city officials. I've had one-on-one meetings with them, telling them this is what we need. This is what we need. And nothing's been addressed.
No,
nothing.
No. Almost the opposite.
Yeah. It's almost like they're forgetting about it.
We've seen it, and I'd hate to say it was a platform grab, but it kind of seems that way.
We saw it with a couple people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, we've had some people that did that we had on our podcast that we talked off air and everything, that had no idea about mental health or what was even available and stuff like that.
And so, these are people, I want to just cut you off right here. Yeah. Interject. These are people who are running for office.
100%.
And these are people who are making $100,000 a year plus and actually going to do and make decisions based on the community.
And then we just have a nobody probation officer that can rattle off 50 referrals just by doing a simple job.
Right.
It's your job as a city official to understand every program that's in the city, not even just mental health, everything.
Yeah.
That is what is an expectation that's held with you. Mm-hmm. And you need to do a good job on every single thing.
Totally.
And we're seeing, we're not going to go down that rabbit hole, but we're seeing not what we intended, what we thought good-hearted intentions were headed.
Yeah.
Are not going in those.
Yeah. Because it's it's also one of those things too. So we see it with the elections. We see it when the inner man started, it got so much traction that it was a novelty.
That's right.
We've seen that with guys who tried to volunteer with us. Yeah. We've seen that with, people involved with the elections. Yeah. The election was a platform grab for a lot of people because they could use the term mental health to talk about what's happening in the city. Meanwhile, our group of 20 plus people are working day in and day out, messaging guys, messaging women, working with kids, doing this for free and not taking a paycheck. And then you sit there and you wonder why we have a mental health crisis. It's because there's no priority on
it. Yeah.
None whatsoever.
Yeah. I don't really know what to say more on this matter. Mm-hmm. Without getting too deep into it and start, throwing out names and that kind of stuff. Like it's getting to the point where we've almost led a direction.
Yeah. Yeah, we did. And this is the one thing I said, this is a quote I heard recently. I sent this to you. 1% of unemployment is 5% increase in psychiatric care.
Yeah. Yeah. And that makes sense.
It is wild to me that, a city like Medicine Hat, what was it? 2 or 3 psychiatrists skipped town last year.
Yeah.
Just left because they weren't getting the funding. So, so healthcare is not getting the funding. Okay. So then you go to a psychologist and you know how many guys you and I have talked to just in the last 6 months who say they can't afford psychologists when they're $200 an hour plus.
That's right.
And then, I don't have insurance. Well, then you got to go get insurance. And it was just a vicious cycle of, there were so many talking points when it came to mental health, but it was virtue signaling mm-hmm. at its finest.
Yeah.
And then the people who are putting on work, our old neighbors, I won't say their name, they actually put in work day in and day out to try and help people.
Oh yeah. No, they're great. They're a great organization.
I want to list off 5 organizations that I refer anybody to if they're in a time of need. That's the Mustard Seed with Colette down there. McMahon, Bridges Family Programs, Medicine or Redcliffe Youth Center and Be Youth. These are programs that actually the city needs. And then, of course, there's the Women's Shelter, Canadian Mental Health Association. Yeah. So I'm frustrated with you. I'm frustrated for you as a partner in this. But one of the things that I'm more frustrated with is the fact that our city is struggling right now and, it's crickets.
Yeah. And like almost doing I hate to throw this in there too, but I have seen the effects on individuals. First of all, our unemployment rate is alarming. We've seen that.
It's way higher than they're saying.
That's right.
Way higher than they're saying.
That's right. Yeah. Which obviously turns in, you're not providing for your family anymore. That weighs on a person, right? Mm-hmm. And then we're looking at other things like our utilities going up 3 times of what they were.
Wild, man.
And the rebuttal of the city is, we'll make you have referral plans or deferral plans. We'll have deferral plans or we'll give you more time or whatever.
We're going to put $2 million more into it, which is your guys' money.
No real solution. And I only bring this up. This isn't because of my own political, obviously it does affect me, mm-hmm. but the people that are already struggling financially, like we've seen people in our group, like absolutely gone. When we had our night, mm-hmm. that was like the main talking point.
Totally.
It's like totally. A lot of people that rely on social assistance and stuff like that they have a set budget. Mm-hmm. They can survive on what they have and that's it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
now you just up their stuff by $200-$300. That's detrimental for a lot of people.
Dude, like I was having this conversation with a friend of mine. He's just like, this is the first season ever. He's a financial advisor. He hasn't done an RRSP application. And I said to him, people are living paycheck to paycheck.
They can't afford to put money in RSPs.
Hand to mouth. That's how they're living right now. They can't afford the utilities. How are they supposed to put money away for savings? What are you talking about?
Fuel just went up six more cents.
So we have this. So, and so here's the, this is how this all ties in, guys. It's so we have all of these issues with our finances. People can't afford fuel, can't afford childcare. Well, childcare, they can now. They can't afford their utilities. They can't afford their groceries. It's too expensive to drive. And on top of that, unemployment's through the roof. And on top of that, our governments, I'm going to say municipal government right now, isn't doing anything to help its community.
Yeah.
Nothing. And they said they helped us with opening these pools. That's great.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah.
People can't afford
to go to the
pool. Go to the pools. They can't get a cab. They can't get a, apparently bus lines just went up again. Bus transport just went up again in price. Yeah. So when we're sitting here going, well, yeah, that's, so we have this vicious cycle that nobody seems to care about. And then when we do have opportunities for funding, we're shut down on it.
Yeah.
So yeah, we're frustrated right now because we're advocating for you guys and people who are suffering from mental health in Medicine Hat, and nobody wants to do anything about it.
Yeah. The Inner Man believes in that you shouldn't have to pay to deal with your mental health. That's not something that is in anybody's control at any given time.
Well, look what Rod said last week.
That's right.
If I'm not the guy for you, I'll give you your money back.
Yeah.
Because he feels value in mental health.
Yeah.
Right.
And there's not too many therapists out there.
No. And it's just really disheartening. And the reason it's disheartening is because we deserve so much more.
Yeah. And I think if we went and to maintain our integrity and who we are, all the money, if we were to land a grant, we want ITTM to be free.
Yeah.
We want our personal development to be free again.
Yeah.
We want our to continue to our drop-ins for free. Mm-hmm. But the only way we can do that is to pay for our building.
Yeah, we want to put together a youth program. We want to put together a grief night.
We have so many ideas in the place, and it comes down to funding.
Yeah.
And you can understand where our frustrations lie. Mm-hmm. And it just continues to build and build. And you guys are the bad receiving end of that.
Yeah. Well, let's put it this way. The only funding outside of the government of Alberta we've had are from small businesses in Medicine Hat and then the oilsmen.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. And
no municipal support, no foundation support, no charity support, nothing.
And imagine this, guys, we had an oil field, the oilsmen's, all the banded oil field people together where they're scoffed at. No one cares about, no one gives a shit about oil field workers. Mm-hmm. They're the ones helping us out.
Yeah.
They do care. Mm-hmm. Yeah. My boss, I'm in.
Isn't that funny though? Isn't that funny? The people who are scoffed at the most are like, here's more money.
It's like, hey, we're with you. We're the Inner Man. Yeah. We feel you.
Yeah.
My boss right now hired me on the sole fact that I was a mental health advocate.
Yeah.
I had no experience.
Yeah.
I had no business getting this job.
Right.
I didn't deserve it.
Yeah.
But he took a chance on me because he's like, this is a guy that I want on my team because he is a good person. He cares. I care about mental health. Mm-hmm. It's important. People struggle all around here. I see it all the time.
Totally.
And there needs to be someone in there. So an advocate, someone to give a shit.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, and so that's what we are, guys. So we're the people who give a shit about you guys and the viewers and the listeners and everybody who's struggling Medicine Hat. I don't know who she works for. Patty Musgrave.
Oh, shoot.
Shout out to Patty, though, because she's
plugging us. She's like crazy. Plugging us everywhere, like crazy. Anywhere. I see your name everywhere.
And I'm so grateful for people like Patty. I'm so grateful for people like Rod Dorn, pushing the podcast like he was. You guys are all amazing. Before we head off, do you have anything else to say, Shane? Because this was a really frustrating conversation for us to have, but we need to let the city know what is actually going on.
Yeah, you just brought up a point that reminded me too, that I wanted to get out. The only individuals, the therapists that aren't fighting for funding, that are their own private practice, that, you know, that we're not competing with us for funding or anything like that, are the people that are with us, that believe in us.
Yep.
that know what we're doing is right.
Right.
The evidence, there's been so much evidence, not only in our own, what we've seen, mm-hmm. you can take our word for it or right. our men's word for it, but there's actual evidence-based exams, things in this world mm-hmm. out there that's mm-hmm. saying that peer-led groups can be just as great for people, mm-hmm. if not better, or it could be worse. Mm-hmm. Just what I'm saying is what we do can be just as enlightening for someone that's going to therapy.
Totally.
And these therapists that aren't fighting for our funding, for the same funding, agree with
it. It's funny how that works. You're absolutely correct, because it's like everybody that's had a problem with what we do is in direct competition with the funding that we could receive.
That's right.
And when it comes down to, you know, we had this conversation with another organization, a local organization who distributes funds. That was a disheartening conversation. And when you hear that it all comes down to bureaucrats and what people on boards and other people decide, then you realize that, oh, it's not about the actual program in place.
Yeah,
it's not about the people who are actually helping thousands of people like we are.
Yeah.
It's the fact that there's no background checks. There's no nothing. And it's just become a vicious circle everywhere we've turned.
100%.
And I felt, and you felt like this had to be, I remember what you said. We got to blow the lid on this, because yeah. it's ridiculous, because there's people actually dying from suicide and addictions right now in Medicine Hat. And there are very, very few organizations that actually care. And then the ones that do are struggling so much for money.
Yeah,
struggling
like us. Like us.
Yeah, absolutely. And like, I can't imagine what like the women's shelter goes through. I can't imagine what McMahon goes through. These are high-end organizations
that put such good programming out there.
The best, right? And so you see that and you know that funding is tight, and you shake your head because you know where the money's going.
Well, and the workers that just don't know if next month their contract's going to get renewed, which they'll bend over backwards for. I've seen it. Mm-hmm. I've seen it day in, day out for, you know, adults struggling, you know, released from jails or addiction centers and don't know their way. They don't know how to take care of themselves. Mm-hmm. Insert McMahon.
Yeah.
Hey, I'll teach you how to live properly and be nutritious.
Here's this phone number. Here's that phone number.
That's right. Let's get you to I'll drive store. You there. Yeah. I will take you in my personal car and I will drive. I have seen this. This is what they do.
Right.
That is why we can get on board with programming like that and people like this, because they are making a difference.
Yeah. When I told that lady 2 weekends ago, have you ever had someone give you a suicide note?
Yeah.
And that's happened, guys, where we sat down.
Our first week,
we had guys.
At the 616 building.
Yeah. Yeah. We've had guys give us their suicide notes.
Yeah. All we did was provide them with the direction.
Yeah. Yeah. That was
something so simple.
That was that moment that you're talking about was a wake up call for me. Cause what I realized was there's so many people that they have no idea where they're going.
No.
And so when we get scoffed at and say, well, there's tons of programs in Medicine Hat.
Just like you.
Yeah. Yeah. Unfortunately, most people don't know about you.
That's right.
Most people don't know about it. And, you know, when you think of the people that we sat down with, especially the vulnerable population, homeless guys, homeless women, the people who, you know, are elected to get food hampers, those are vulnerable people, man.
100%.
Like for the city to not just us, but denounce every other mental health organization from funding is beyond me.
That's right.
And we need to hold these people accountable, because
it's unacceptable.
It's unacceptable. And the only way you have a successful city is by having winners.
Working as a team,
creating self-sufficiency, creating programs where people aren't just left to their own demise. Because what happens when somebody with mental illness, and I can speak on this from having depression, when you get into that rabbit hole in your own head, there's no getting out of it.
No,
there is no end in sight. When you want to kill yourself, there is no end in sight. When you have a gun in your hand or a ball of pills in your hand, and the next action that you're going to do is to try to take your own life, there's no Googling mental health services.
No, you're way past beyond that.
There's none of that.
Yeah.
And the amount of people that you and I alone, not including the other 20 individuals who volunteer with us, have had to deal with is just, it's astronomical and it's unacceptable.
Yeah, that's just the best way to say it. Unacceptable. Mm-hmm. I'm disappointed in our city, for a lot of people, and they should be ashamed. And I'd say that with a heavy heart.
Yeah, it's a heavy heart. Yeah, that's the biggest problem.
Because I want us to be better. Totally. I want us to. And listen, we know this conversation could be damaging for our listeners.
Maybe, well, at the end of the day, this is the way I looked at this conversation. We weren't getting funding in the first place.
That's right. And it is, and it, we're okay now. We'll make our way. We'll make it work.